And this segment is brought to you by Oberlin Hearing Care, Lorain County's only Audigy-certified provider. To learn more, you can visit oberlinhearingcare.com or just stay with us for a bit as we have Dr. Richard Hetzko with us, and he also has brought with him someone who's on an externship.
Mm-hmm, that's correct.
Is this a new term in college kind of outreach in a way?
No, it's been around a long time, but externs are usually students who come off-site to complete their education. So we have Josh Boyer here from the University of Cincinnati, and he's with us this year. He's going to get his doctorate at the end of the year in May, and he will be Dr. Boyer at that time. So he's completing his training with us and just getting a lot of hands-on experience in the office.
Is this something that you do frequently or on occasion?
I haven't done it in about 13 years. Okay. So Josh is the first person I've taken on in that period of time. But I used to do a lot of it with the University of Akron and some with Kent State and even Cleveland State, you know, many years ago.
And what things have you been learning or noticing being here at Oberlin Hearing Care?
Well, really, it's my first experience in private practice since... always been my passion through school. I've always wanted to be working in private practice and working with people who want to hear better. So I've been learning a lot about the business side of you know, working with patients, you know, working with great technology, but also providing hearing care and learning how, you know, the front of the house and the back of the house works.
Finding out all the paperwork that's involved.
Right, exactly. Like lots of paperwork, yeah. Yep.
Why did you decide to get into this field?
Well, I started in speech pathology, which is kind of the other half to the whole in communication. But as soon as I took my first audiology class in undergrad, I fell in love with it. It's a bit more objective. There's more testing and diagnostics, which I love. And working with the technology is also a lot of fun, too.
Do you find, Dr. Hetzko, that you get some young people with new ideas, new blood, new things that kind of also kind of keep you sort of focused on the current state of audiology?
Absolutely. At first I was a little bit fearful because I thought, my gosh, this kid's just out of school and he's got all this new technology and he knows a lot about all the new stuff. And he's kind of waking me up to some of those things. And on the other hand, we can talk about audiology. The problem with being in a field by yourself for a long time, being in private practice, there's no one to talk to about what you do. So having Josh out here, we can sit down and talk about what we've seen during the day, anatomical and physiological abnormalities that we see in the practice and how we treat them, how we take care of them, and then just basic counseling. So it's a lot of fun to have another pair of ears that knows the field to bounce things off, and it's a lot of fun to have them here.
So it kind of changes the whole kind of dynamic of your office then.
Exactly. Well, everybody thinks I'm retiring because he's here. So, oh, you're retiring now. No, we're not retiring, but we're just training. And, you know, we're hopeful that at the end of the next year, we'd be able to bring Josh on as an associate to the practice. So that's the goal of this thing.
So let's talk a little bit about some of the things that are happening at Oberlin Hearing Care. What's some of the new maybe products or things that are out there?
Well, one of the neat things we're dealing with right now, and I'll have Josh talk to you a little bit about that, is the new iPhone hearing aid. They have hearing aids now that work with your iPhone. And you can use the iPhone to tune or adjust the hearing aid on the fly while you're out in public. And it's kind of neat because the hearing aids just talk back and forth to the iPhone. And Josh can tell you a little bit more about some of the features. He's working with a few patients right now with it.
Oh, it's a great system. I mean, all of technology is kind of moving towards connectivity. So we want to be able to pop more sound straight from whatever device you're listening to or watching straight into your ears. And that improves your understanding of the speech and of the sounds greatly. So we've been working with these iPhone hearing aids that stream anything from your iPhone, whether it be music, text messages, phone, voicemail, straight to your ears, which is it's a really great technology to work with because not only can you stream, you can change the volume, you can use your phone as a remote control, you can use it as a remote microphone to help with listening in a noisy environment, you can even geotag different acoustic memories to these hearing aids that when you walk into an area, your iPhone will blip and say, hey, let's switch into this mode so you can hear better at this restaurant. It's really interesting.
Previously, how was that done with the hearing? Did you have to take it out? Were there small adjustments that would have to be made?
Well, you could do it with remote controls that came with the hearing aids, but it was another device on top of your phone to have. So you have a remote control plus your phone. Or you could do it with a little switch on the back of the hearing aid. But the cool thing about the iPhone app is that you download this app to the phone, And we could be sitting here right now as we're talking. You could have your iPhone on the table, and there's a little program in there that you can be moving your finger around on the iPhone, changing the whole dynamics of the hearing aid, how it processes sound, how the microphones line up, how the speech and noise suppression work, speech enhancement and noise suppression. So as we're sitting here, and if there's noise in the background, I can move my finger around on that iPhone app until I find that the noise drops back and the speech comes out, and then I can just punch right there, and that's what I have. And the hearing aid learns that from the iPhone. And it's just one of the coolest features we have.
Craig and I were talking earlier. We were doing a segment, and in the background, while I'm doing a feature, there's music playing. And sometimes we'll have listeners who say, you know, I have a hard time distinguishing between there's music going on and voice.
Mm-hmm.
But these types of things are able to kind of separate that.
Yeah.
Focus on the part you want to hear better.
Yeah, some of the newer hearing aids do that, and they do a very nice job of it.
It's funny, when you first mentioned about connecting to the iPhone, in my visualization of it, I thought, oh, there's a wire that goes from here to here, you know, like you plug in for like a listening thing. But
yeah,
this is all done with a
just wireless Bluetooth.
Wireless Bluetooth. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's really cool.
I grew up with a grandmother who, you know, from my very first memory, had a hearing aid. But, you know, it predates the ones we're talking about here. It was simply an earpiece with a wire that went down to like a battery pack, and I guess the microphone was in that battery pack.
Yep.
So for her to hear,
yep,
you needed to speak basically into her blouse pocket.
Yeah,
right.
Your ear was
right,
planted on the center of your chest, or
right,
you know, wherever you put that hearing aid. We had one guy who carried it in his back pocket.
Yep.
I don't know how he talked to people, but he did.
They had
that
to be behind him.
Yeah, to be behind him.
Do you still see people bring those kinds of things in for updates, or are we beyond that now?
We're pretty much beyond that,
yeah,
now. I've got a whole slew of them sitting on my wall in my office, you know, just basically antique hearing aids from the, and they're basically from the 50s and 60s. But people still like them, like you. They remember, oh, yeah, my grandmother wore that, you know, and they think that's pretty cool to see.
At what time, when you started your practice, what was the state of art at that time?
Well, honestly, when I started in practice, I was fitting a lot of children, and we were fitting them with those hearing aids, the big body aids, and we fit them with a cord to each ear, not just one, what we called a Y cord, but they still had the microphone planted in the center of their chest. They were durable, you know, very resilient. The kids couldn't rip them off their ears really easily, and they had a lot of power, so that's why we fit those hearing aids. But very quickly through the late 70s into early 80s, we got smaller and smaller, but still were able to maintain the power we needed and fit kids that way.
Well, it makes it interesting, Josh, if this is the technology that you're starting your practice with, imagine, you know, 20, 30 years from now, what it'll look like then.
Exactly. And it's been a real experience to not only learn about this technology, but, you know, as we talk, you know, I get to know a lot about the history, about where this technology has come from, and in, you know, how short of a period of time that it's happened.
What sort of things are you learning related to the interpersonal, dealing with patients? Because that's one of the, you know, you can have sort of the science behind it, sort of knowing it, but getting the people to understand what they need, and I suppose even Dr. Hetzko would say getting the people to use these devices, because many times if it's annoying to them, they don't use, and their quality of life will go in different directions. So
exactly.
And that's where a big part of our work is counseling. You know, it's not just putting a device on the head and sending them on their way and saying, I hope you hear better. It's a lifestyle transition where, you know, not only do we, you know, find a set of devices that works well for a person's lifestyle, we learn about the lifestyle and how much activity that they are in, but we also follow them for at least 75 days to make sure that we get as much face time with them as possible, to make adjustments, to talk about not only how they hear, if it's better or worse in some situations, but also different communication strategies that can help them use those devices to give them a better edge in situations that are hard for them to communicate.
Right, and as you talked at the beginning, all these sort of minutia, the minor things that can be adjusted, just a simple adjustment can make the difference between hearing and not hearing.
Yeah. Well, just think about your smartphone. Every time you get a new smartphone, there's a new series of behaviors you have to learn to get that gadget to work the way you want. And then we're talking about putting a pair of devices on a person who really hasn't, a lot of our patients don't deal with tech. They really don't know what high-tech stuff is. And just to try to get them to interface the hearing aid with their own individual anatomy and physiology first, and then get used to hearing again. Because when you lose your hearing, it's sort of like we have to do physical therapy for the ears. We have to gradually reacclimate you to hearing sound again. And this is why we have a 75-day period, if you will, during which we retrain the patients. We bring them back, readjust the hearing aids, turn them up a little bit each time just to get them more reacquainted with sounds in their environment. Their brain has changed from not hearing, and we have to get their brain to change back so they can hear well again.
So there is an actual physical difference that's happening somewhere in the brain, but based on the fact that the ears are not working properly.
Absolutely. It's basically sensory deprivation. If we cut the brain off from stimulation that it's used to receiving, the brain basically says, well, I can't hear the sound S anymore, like I can't hear S, but I can hear the sound B. So what I'm going to do is reconfigure myself to hear the sound B. So the brain has done that over a period of years, and then all of a sudden we start sending the S's back up to that part of the brain, and the brain says, what the heck is that? I don't remember what that is. And people say it sounds tinny, it sounds funny, it sounds different. But then after several weeks or a few months, they say, oh yeah, that sounds normal now, because the brain has reacclimated itself to the sound again. But that's one of the hard things, getting people to accept that yeah, we have to reshape the way the brain hears again, because you haven't been hearing that way for a while. But we do.
And that's probably the most crucial period to get through.
Exactly.
To get the acceptance, and also to sort of get it to a point where now the device and the person are working as best together.
Then. It's a lot easier to do it now because we have techniques like visible speech mapping, where we can actually put the hearing aid in the patient's ear and adjust it to a prescription for them. And then once we get it there, we can say, this is where we want you to be. But then they'll say, yeah, but that sounds funny. So we'll say, we'll drop it down. We'll turn it down a little bit. And then we can either program the hearing aid to automatically turn itself up slowly over time as they wear it, or bring them back periodically every few weeks and make those adjustments while we're counseling them. So the idea is to get them to adapt over time, and usually within 75 days, most patients do.
Wow. That's fascinating. I just, you know, think about that whole thing where, as opposed to just a device and let the person sort of flounder to figure out how it's not working, or so much kind of technique to get into that.
Exactly. There's a lot more to it.
Wow, that's great. Our guest today has been Dr. Richard Hetzko, and he's also with us is Josh Boyer, who's on an externship with Dr. Hetzko. You may see him if you stop by Oberlin Hearing Care, and you can go to oberlinhearingcare.com if you'd like to find out more and maybe even visit them. Thanks very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Very informative.